Judges chapter 8. Let's stand to our feet and show honor and respect for the reading of God's holy word this morning. I've got one verse that I'm going to read to you. We're going to pray and we're going to get right into the message today. Judges chapter 8, verse 4. It says, "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your holy word this morning. And now, Lord, we humbly come to it. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us something afresh and anew. Lord, that would meet us exactly where we are. Lord, I ask that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self this morning. Help me be a blessing to your people. And may you add a blessing to the reading of your word today. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So quick background to the one verse that I read you this morning. If you've been following along in our devotionals, we're going through Judges. But right now, what we have is Gideon, who was raised up by God as a judge for the Israelite people, who has just with his 300 men, an army that was formed. By the way, they're coming off of a victory over the Midianites, but he didn't start with 300 men, did he? When they went into battle, when he said, hey, we're going to battle the Midianites, God's going to lead us out, he started with 32,000. 32,000. And God said, no, that's not enough, or that's too many. I'm sorry, too many. He said that's too many. And so he gave them some directives. We'll talk about those directives a little bit more, but the army went from 32,000 men down to 10,000 men. God said, again, too many. And so he had him do a test, and it went down to 300. God said, that's perfect. I want you to take your 300 men, Gideon, and I want you to go up against the Midianites, who had 135,000 people in their army. Now, we look at that, right? We read it, we comprehend what's going on, and we're like, okay, this battle should be an absolute slam dunk for the Midianites, amen? We've got 300 against 135,000. We would expect the 135,000 to easily defeat the 300, amen? But God, amen? But God. And when you read your Bible in Judges chapter 7, what does it say? It says that God did a mighty work through Gideon and those 300 men. And God did a mighty work in defeating the Midianites, not because, ladies and gentlemen, they outsmarted the enemy, not because they outskilled the enemy, not because they were stronger than the enemy, but because they were submitted to the will of God. And can I tell you something this morning? No matter what you are facing from the enemy, if you are submitted to the will of God and go to battle against the enemy, you can never lose. Oh, I thought I'd get more of an amen than that, but that's okay. Just getting warmed up. We're in the introduction, right? You cannot lose if you are submitted to the will of God. They did what God told them to do. What did God tell them to do to get 300 men to defeat 135,000? Well, if you go back to Judges 7 and verse 20, look with me. Judges chapter 7 and verse 20. It's just back on the last page. It says, and the three companies, right? He took the 300 men, he divided them into 100 per company. They surrounded the Midianites. It says, and the three companies blew the trumpets and broke their pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they rushed the men. That sounds like an awesome battle plan, doesn't it? But because they were faithful, and because they did what God instructed them to do, it says, if you continue to reading, it says the Midianite army was so confused by what was going on. God threw them into confusion. It said they were so confused about what was going on that they started to fight amongst themselves. And there was even, as they were fighting amongst themselves and the 300 were fighting against them, it said that a group of them was able to get away. They ran for fear and didn't even fight. Can you imagine, folks, the joy that was with the Israelites at this point, after this battle? Can you imagine? I mean, they had just won a battle that you could say was only won because of the hand of God upon them. You guys ever, I mean, this was a miracle. Anybody here ever experienced a miracle? Anybody ever experienced something happen in your life that you can say, that was the hand of God on me? And it can be absolutely nothing else. It had to have been the hand of God. Have you experienced that? Listen to me. If you are here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever experienced a miracle. Listen to me. If you're saved, if you are a child of God, if you've professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have experienced a miracle. How do I know that? Because there is absolutely nothing, Scripture tells us, that you could have done in order to obtain the righteousness that you needed to be reconciled unto God, to pay for your sins, to go to heaven. And all the works that you could have done that would have fallen short, God sent His Son into this world. He died on a cross. He spilled His blood. He went down to hell. He stole the keys. He beat death in hell. He rose again and said, if you put your faith and trust in me alone, you will be saved. That's a miracle, folks. That's a miracle. You couldn't do it on your own. Can I tell you another miracle? By the simple fact that you cannot lose your salvation. He preserves you until the day of redemption. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a miracle, because I don't know about you. I'm saved, but I still screw up. Am I the only one? Come on now. But He has kept you and He continues to preserve you. So they're coming off of this high, right? They've experienced this awesome, awesome victory. But can you also imagine, while they experienced this awesome victory, listen to me, it was still 300 men fighting against 135,000. So it got tiring. It was a little exhaustive. Imagine the condition of these men. Imagine, right? They didn't lose the battle, but they were probably battered a little bit, right? They weren't defeated, but they were probably wounded a little bit. This army of 300 men have been through the ringer. They have faced difficulties. They were exhausted. They probably used every single bit of effort they had, even though the Lord's hand was upon them. And even in the midst of that condition, here's the biggest part. You ready? The job was not done yet. Men fled. There were still about 15,000 people that got away, the Midianites, that God said, you're going to wipe out the Midianite army. The job was not done. They were tired, but the job was not done. They were weary, but the job that God called them to was not done. They were wounded, but what God had told them to do in obedience had not yet been complete. And that brings us to verse 4, where I don't know about you, I take some comfort in this verse. I get a little energized knowing the context of which this verse is found in. It says, and Gideon came to Jordan. He passed over, he and his 300 men that were with. Did you notice 300 men? They didn't lose one man in the battle. Didn't lose one. And the 300 were with him. But what's it say? Faint, yet pursuing them. Why do I get energized? Why do I take comfort when I see something like that? Because, folks, even though they were tired, even though they were weary, even though they were, as the text says, faint, they still desired to pursue the enemy and do what God had asked them to do. They still had it with them. They wanted to see the mission fulfilled. They wanted to complete the task. And here's the best part. God didn't just say, hey, I know you guys are weary. I know you guys are worn out. I'm going to give you a rest and call on another 300. God said, I've got the faithfulness in you, Israelite army, that you can, even with your 300, even in your condition, complete the task that I've called you to do. You've got the power, and you've got the strength, and you've got the backing to press on. And I can't help but think, as we look at this text this morning, that there are people here today in God's house that probably can identify with Gideon's army. You've been through a lot of battles, maybe, recently. Maybe you're beat up a little bit by circumstances that have happened. Maybe you've been fighting the enemy for so long, you've depleted your strength and you've depleted your resources. Maybe today you found yourself hobbling in here a little crippled emotionally. You've been hit, or you're dealing with sickness and disease. Maybe you got slammed with some bad news over the course of the last week or the last month that you're trying to work through and trying to understand. Maybe you're struggling with some addictions in your life that constantly seem like you have to battle and ward off in order to remain on the path that you're in. Or maybe some of you today are here and you're dealing with some family issues, some church issues, some job issues that have left you walking in such a way that you are weak. Or maybe it's because of the stuff that's going on in the world. How many know we live in some crazy times right now? We're living in some crazy times, right? Stuff in the world, maybe you're looking around, you're listening to the news, you're looking on social media, and you have been crippled because of what you've seen with fear, with anxiety, with worry, and it has started intruding into your spiritual life. Your devotion life ain't what it used to be. Your walk with God isn't what it used to be. Your prayer life isn't what it used to be. It's stale. It just doesn't feel like you've got that connection. Or maybe you're worn out, and you're so worn out that this attitude and this mindset and this worry and this fear about what's going on in the world and what's around you has started getting into your attitude. And it has started damaging your relationships. Maybe your giving isn't where it's supposed to be as you're pouring yourself out to the Lord. Maybe you just got so worn down and quiet and tired. Maybe today you just said, "Pastor, I need something because I feel like quitting. I just feel like quitting." Can I give you some good news today? No? Okay. I'm going to give it to you anyway. Listen to me. It's okay to be faint. Did you hear me? It's okay to be, let me use another word that maybe the King James doesn't use there. It's okay to be weary. It's okay to be worn out. It's okay to just be flat out tired. But you know what I see in Scripture time and time again, and I see in this verse today in the Gideonite army? It's okay to be faint, but keep pursuing. Keep pursuing. Keep pursuing God. Listen, there may be days and seasons in your life over the course of the last couple of months that may have changed, right? And you find yourself in different circumstances and in a different situation, things that maybe you never thought could have happened. But can I tell you something this morning? As you are in the midst of that struggle, God has remained the same. Amen. Amen. God has remained the same. And can I tell you? He has remained the same. So what's that mean? He's still a good God. Amen? He's still a good God. He's still a God that hears your cry. He's still a God that will wipe your tears. Can I tell you? He's still a God that can save the lost. He's still a God that's worthy of praise and honor and all that you can give him. He's still a God that's there for you. And listen, your situation, your checkbook, your place of employment, your worship, your relationships, your health may have changed. But can I tell you, as we look at what Gideon's army has done, we still have a commission to fill and to go forward on, even in the midst of that change. We still have a gospel to preach. Amen, church? We still have a commission to fulfill. We still have kids to raise up. We still have a next generation to train up. We still have a Savior that needs to be worshiped. We still have an enemy that needs to defeat. We still have a God that needs to be glorified in the midst of all of it. And while you may be here this morning, and you may be faint, you may be tired, you may be run down, you may be discouraged. Can I tell you? You may be saying to me, "Pastor, I can't do it. The circumstances are too overwhelming. Pastor, I'm too worn out." Can I tell you? If you look at me and you say, "Pastor, I can't do what God's called me to do," I'm going to remind you this morning, you never could do what God has called you to do. You never could. You were never meant to do it by yourself. And all the times you thought you were doing it, guess who was actually doing it for you? The power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do anything good apart from Jesus Christ. So you may say, Pastor, I'm worn out. Pastor, I'm tired. Pastor, I don't think you can. Listen to me. I want to encourage you this morning through this text and what I'm going to share with you, that we can pick our heads up when we're tired, that we can stand on our weak legs, that we can put our chests out, and we can move forward, and we can be determined, as the scripture declares, if God is for us, who can be against us? Listen to me. The same power that rose Christ from the dead, it says in the scripture, lives and dwells inside of you. Therefore, if you've got the same power that rose Christ from the dead, that same power can give power to your lifeless bodies and raise you up and energize you and give you everything you need to accomplish everything that God's called and see it through to the end and be faithful in what God has given you. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, church. God is looking for people that while they're faint, they're still pursuing him. God is looking for disciples that while they are worn out, they are still willing to pursue him. Can I give you four things from the text today? I promise I'll make them quick. Four things from the text today, four factors that are involved this morning if you are faint, but yet you want to pursue the Lord. I want to give you four things to take notice of. Number one, I want you to realize if you're faint and yet pursuing, you can only accomplish that by remembering the supernatural favor that is on your life. I imagine that played a role with the Israelite army as they got to verse 4, as they were tired, as they passed the Jordan, right? And in order to understand that, they had to go into their memories and they had to remember back to Judges 6. And they had to remember back to Judges 7, how in Judges 6 they were being captured and oppressed by the Midianites after God had delivered them how many times before. Now they find themselves in the same situation. And they cried out to God. And in the midst of crying out to God, praise the Lord and his grace and his mercy and his willingness to hear the voice of his people, it says that he rose up Gideon. Amen. He rose up Gideon from amongst them. Can I tell you, they had to remember the favor that they had from God, that while they were oppressed, God did not leave them alone. God did not abandon them. God did not tell them to figure it out on their own, but God in his mercy and in his favor reached down and raised somebody up. And after he raised somebody up, they had to remember about Judges 7 and what happened in Judges 7, that the favor of God was then used on them and by them to be delivered. I told you, Gideon said, I want all the people who want to fight the Midianites, and 32,000 showed up. And God said, yeah, that's too many. And Gideon said, but God, you know the army of the Midianites. They have over 135,000. What do you mean this is too many? God said, too many. And so he told Gideon, he said, address the crowd. I want you to thin out the herd. You ready? I want you to tell them, if anybody here is scared about going into battle or is just too tired to fight, just go on home. You know what happened? 20,000 men took up that offer and said, peace out. 20,000. And now he's down to 12,000. Okay, God, I got 12,000 to go up against 135,000. You know what God said? Yeah, it's still too much. Still too much. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take them down to the water, and I want you to tell them to drink from the water. Drink from the river. And whoever puts their heads down and laps the water like a dog, compared to those who cup it and bring it up to their mouth, I want you to tell the ones who lap like a dog that they can go home. Now, that seems kind of strange, doesn't it? Seems kind of strange. Is God wants to, you know, how you drink water, right? No. What God was seeing was who was standing at attention and ready to fight even as they were refreshing themselves, and who took their eyes off the prize and only focused on their physical need. And so he said, all right, you guys, you went down to the water, you put your face in it, you lapped it like a dog, y'all can go, you're dismissed. And he's left with 300. 300. And I imagine there was fear. I imagine there was trembling. I imagine that there was even doubts in Gideon's mind. How am I going to go with my 300 men against 135,000 Midianites? But can I tell you something this morning? Sometimes God needs us to get small so he can be big. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes God needs us to get small and deplete us of all the things that we take comfort in so that he can be big, so that way his honor and glory can show and to shine. Sometimes, listen to me, let me take it even a step farther. Sometimes God needs us to be weak in our lives so his strength can be revealed in our lives. Amen, church. Amen. Because here's the thing. We will never see how big our Savior is. We will never see how strong our Savior is until we put ourselves in a position where we are small and we are weak. How many of you guys know God is in the business of getting glory? Did you know that? Are y'all with me this morning? Man, quieter than normal. God is in the business of getting glory. And he gets his glory through our weakness. Did you know that? Paul writes about that a lot in the New Testament. Go read it sometimes. But listen, we need to remember God's favor in our life. Because here's the thing. Then in verses 22 through 25 in chapter 7, we see the result of that favor. They won. They won the battle. Did you hear that? They won the battle. 300 against 135,000. They won the battle when they were not supposed to, with an absolutely crazy plan of having a trumpet and a torch that had a cover and breaking breaking the cover so that way the torch showed and blowing the trumpet and then yelling the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and just they won. They won. Folks, they couldn't have done that without the favor of God on their hands. And can I tell you, that's what they needed to remember at that point. They needed to remember that while they were faint and yet pursuing, and they were trying to track down the last 10,000, 15,000 that had gotten away, that look, God had delivered for them before. He will deliver for them again. And can I tell you, sometimes we need that check in our lives. That when we're constantly going after the Lord, and we feel like we're fighting the enemy constantly, and we feel weary, and we feel run down, the thing that's going to keep us going while we're faint, the thing that's going to keep us pursuing while we're faint, is to remember that you, as a child of God, have the favor of God upon you. That what he's called you to do, he's going to make sure you have the resources and the strength to do. Listen to me. And when you feel like God maybe has forgotten you in the midst of that, send up a prayer and remind him of the track record that you have with him. I can believe God's going to heal me because he's healed me before. Amen. I can believe God's going to deliver me because he's delivered me before. I believe God's going to get me where he wants me to be because he's gotten me where I needed to be before. I believe God's going to provide for me in the midst of my struggle because he's provided for me before. As long as you're in the will of God, God will always show up and he will always show off because you've got his favor as a child of God. You've got his favor. Keep pursuing. Keep pursuing. Let me tell you the second thing. Not only do you need to remember the supernatural favor that you have when you're faint and yet pursuing, but you also need to remember this. And listen to me, this is very important. As you are pursuing God while you're tired, there's going to be some shady friends that come your way. There's going to be some shady friends that come your way. When you're going to find out when you're weary and you're wounded, and you're trying to live right for the Lord and pursue God in your life, and you're on a mission from God, that some people you thought were your friends aren't really your friends. Aren't really your friends. How do I know this? Go to chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read those verses. I'll let you reference them on your own. But I'll summarize it for you. After the battle was over, it said that Gideon and his 300 men, while they were staggering, while they were worn, here comes the men of Ephraim. Here comes the men of Ephraim, and the men of Ephraim were allies of Gideon and his men. In fact, they were so much allies that after they had gotten the Midianites completely out of the territory that they had just taken over, and they were enjoying the spoils of what they had conquered, it says that the men of Ephraim had come in and helped them collect the spoils and even participated and got some of the spoils. Right? They were friends. They were allies. But now they come in verses 1 through 3, and now they're complaining. Now they're complaining. You know what they say? Hey, we're a little offended. You're our friends and our allies, and you went in and you fought this battle, and you didn't call us to come and help you. Why didn't you call us? Why didn't you let us know you were doing this? Why didn't you let us come and help you? Notice there's never a thank you for what you did. There's never a, hey, we greatly appreciate that you drove the Midianites out and now we can have some of the spoils and you're willing to share the spoils with us, but rather we're offended that you didn't call and tell us that you were doing this. They wanted recognition. They wanted to be a part of the victory. In other words, they wanted some credit. And they wanted to be glorified just like the Israelite army was now being glorified. You know how I see this? And I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to tell you, I'm guilty of it as a pastor as well. I've done it many times, and when I was preparing this message, it really hit me and it really convicted me, right? Do you ever hear of a friend who was who disappeared maybe for a while, maybe 2-3 months you didn't hear from them, and all of a sudden they come back to church or they come back into your life and you find out that they were going through a really, really, really rough time and they finally had made it out. And the first thing you said was, "Why didn't you call me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you let me know?" You know, maybe sometimes instead of reacting in that way when someone tells us they were going through a bad time and they got through it and God had brought them out and they're healed and they're taken care of, maybe the first reaction shouldn't be about us, but we should praise the Lord with them and say, "Thank God, God brought you through." Quiet in here. You say, "Well, Pastor, I wanted to be there with them. How about just praise God they're still alive? The situation they went through was not about you. God got them through." Can I tell you, I have to remember this as a pastor because I've caught myself so many times when someone has disappeared from church or I haven't heard from them or they've been through. In fact, I think I just said it about 2 weeks ago to somebody. I said, "Why didn't you let us know?" "Well, you know, I'm a private person." Hey, they have their reasons, praise God, okay? But my response shouldn't be, "Why didn't you let us know?" It should be, "Praise the Lord, you're better. Praise the Lord, you're healed. Praise the Lord, God got you through. Praise the Lord, you're here right now to tell me about what's going on in your life." Listen to me. God will let you know if someone needs help. They will reach out to you if you're meant to be reached out to. And if you're not, and you hear about the healing on the other side, just praise the Lord for it and stop trying to get in the midst of someone else's life. I'm preaching to myself this morning. So if I ever do it to somebody here, you yell at me. And you tell me, "Pastor, you get back in your message," right? We all got to be accountable, amen? Wow, man, you guys aren't talking to me this morning. Okay, I just said hold the pastor accountable. I thought that would be a big amen, but you know. Listen to me. Not only did we see that response from them where they wanted recognition or they wanted to be a part of it when they didn't need to be, but if you go down to verses 5 and 6 and then also verse 8, he then goes to the men of Succoth, right? He goes out from there and he goes to Succoth. And he goes to the men of Succoth, again, people who are allies as they are continuing, as they are weak, as they are weary. And he asks those men in verses 5 and 6 and verse 8, he says, "Can you please give my army some bread? We're tired. We're faint. We need energy. Can you please give us some bread?" You know what they told him? No. No, they said, we're not going to give you bread. In fact, can I ask you, did you defeat all of the Midianites? He said, no, there's still 15,000 that got away. We're pursuing them right now, but we're tired, we're weak, we need help right now. He said, yeah, we'll give you bread once you defeat them. You know, they then went on to the men of Penuel, if you go to verse 8, and they told him the same thing. Three groups of supposed friends that are either going to complain and be offended about what's going on and what God's doing in the midst, or not offer them help. Can I tell you something this morning? You're going to find that as you are pursuing God, as you are pursuing God and you are faint and you are weary and you are just struggling to keep it together and moving towards what God has for you, there are some people who will tell you that they are your friends, but they will only help you on their terms and on their conditions. Right? They'll help you as long as it doesn't cost them anything. Right? The men at Succoth and the men at Penuel, right? Well, we're not going to give you our bread. Sorry, we need that bread for ourselves. Right? But, you know, thoughts and prayers. You have the opportunity to help, and you're not going to do it. You know what else this text shows me? It showed me that the people in Succoth and the people in Penuel were afraid of what the Midianites might do to them if they knew they were associated with Gideon and his army. There was fear there. You ever tell a friend of yours, hey, I need you here, I'm going through a rough spot, and they may think that what God has called you to is crazy and ridiculous, and they'll be like, well, you know, we'll help, but, you know, we got your back, we'll be here, but when it's time for that, they're not there. And it's because they're afraid of what other people may think, being connected with you. You're going to find out you got some shady friends when you continue down the path of what God's called you to do, right? The road we walk as Christians oftentimes is a lonely road. But praise the Lord, we've got the Good Shepherd walking with us when we go down that lonely road. Amen? Listen to me, folks. Over the years that I've been a pastor, I've heard from many people that have asked me to take a risky step or to do this or to do that. Pastor, we've got your back! Within a year, they ain't in church anymore. Or when it comes time to call the favor, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know, yeah. Shady friends. Shady friends, you get the idea. Shady friends that won't help, but they'll complain and they'll be selfish. Third thing I want you to see, if you're faint and yet pursuing, is that even in the midst of all of that, you need to have a sustained focus. You need to have a sustained focus. Look at verses 7 and 9 with me this morning, because this is great. You see Gideon's response to both of these men, right? This is great. I love it. Verse 7. And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Yeah. This Gideon guy is pretty cool. All right, go down to verse 9. It says, after he's done with Penuel, listen to what he says. And he spoke unto them, unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. They had built a tower where they had all their stuff stored that they wouldn't help them with. I will break down this tower. Okay, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Listen to me. What I want you to see is that while these men got on Gideon's nerves because they were shady and they wouldn't help him or his army when they needed help, Gideon did not let that distract him from what God had called him to do. Gideon did not let it distract him from what God had called them to do. And that's huge. Because folks, listen to me. If we are not careful, we can lose our focus at the task at hand, and listen to me, we can forget who our real enemy is and get busy with fighting friends of ours. Okay? Notice I said they were shady friends. I didn't say that they weren't friends. They were shady friends, right? So Gideon basically says in those two, let me put it in a little bit of a modern way. He said, basically, I don't have time for you and your games right now. I've got something greater to accomplish. And so he moved on with or without them. He moved on with or without them. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now. We as Christians are going to get on each other's nerves at some point. Amen? We are going to annoy one another. Amen? I can raise two hands to that, right? We are going to annoy one another. But when we are tempted with the opportunity to lash out at a Christian brother or a Christian sister because they are being shady with us, we need to remember not to waste our time, not to waste our energy, not to waste our focus on the shadiness of our friends, but to remain focused on what God has called us to. Because if you're faint already, listen to me, you know when you're tired, you got really short fuse, amen? You know when else? You know when else you got really short fuse, right? When you're hungry, right? When you're hangry, right? When you're lonely sometimes, right? We got a short fuse. When you're tired, right? When you're wounded, people can get on your nerves and can get on your nerves quick. But we need to remember, look, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. I have something better. Gideon said, I have a clear enemy. I have a critical endeavor. I don't have time for you or your nonsense right now. And listen to me, church. Listen to me, church. There's a lot of stuff going on within our church and within our churches, but we need to remember our enemy is not one another. Our enemy is not one another. Somebody's like, yeah, it is. You don't know what they did to me, Pastor. Listen to me. Our enemy, we have an enemy to fight. And listen to me, it's not the person that disagrees with your post on social media. We have an enemy to fight, and it's not the person who is of a different political party than what you are. We have an enemy to fight, and it's not with somebody who has just a slightly different theological bend than what you believe in. We have an enemy to fight that is someone greater that needs our focus, that needs our attention, and that needs our whole effort. And listen to me. Listen to me. While we may get on each other's nerves and we may not see eye to eye, can I tell you, we still have a common focus because that enemy is still coming after our families. That enemy is still going after our kids. That enemy is still trying to break up your marriage. That enemy is still trying to divide the church. And we can get sidetracked with foolish and fickle things that come in. Listen to me, we need to start as a church waving the white flag on minor things and get back on attack mode and pursuit of the devil and give grace to the people that are around us so we can deal with the enemy that is before us. You need to have a sustained focus. Just be like, I'll get back to you. Now, be a little more gracious than Gideon and don't say I'm going to come and rip you with briars and thorns and tear down your buildings, okay? But have a sustained focus. Last but not least, I want you to see, if you're going to be faint and yet pursuing, you need to have a successful finish. Look at verses 10 through 12 with me. I'll read that. Worship team, if you want to come on back up, you can come on back up. Verses 10 through 12. It says, now Ziba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their hosts were with them, about 15,000 men, and all left of the hosts of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents of the east of Nobah and Jogbah, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Ziba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Ziba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. In other words, they killed everybody. They tracked them down. They completed the task. They killed everybody. 15,000 there said they initially tried to escape. They needed to complete the task. They continued on, even though they were faint, they continued to pursue. You know what that tells me? We have an attitude within the church that when it comes to God's work and God's stuff, an attitude of our culture that has creeped in where we like to put forth an effort and then we say, well, you know, it's good enough. I'm tired. The Lord knows my heart. Yeah, the Lord does know your heart, and that should scare you. But we need to stop this attitude in our churches of, well, that's good enough. No, we need to see it through to completion as God told us to. And we need to put forth our best effort like God told us to. They had a completed process, but I also want you to see there was a consequential piece. This is great. Because they finished the job, because they had a successful, because they were faint and yet pursuing and continued to move on. Look with me at verse 28 of chapter 8. Look with me at verse 28 of chapter 28. I'm sorry, of chapter 8. Verse 28, chapter 8 of Judges. It says, thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. Because they completed the task, you know what they had as Israelites for 40 years? Peace and quiet. How many can raise a hand today and say, especially if you have kids, how wonderful peace and quiet is? Come on. I'll tell you a secret. My wife and I, because, you know, the kids are old enough now where we can't tell them to go take a nap after church. You know what my wife and I do on Sunday afternoon after church? We go home, we eat lunch, and then we tell the kids, yeah, go downstairs, and you're going to be down there for about 3 hours. We don't lock our kids in the basement, okay? They can get up. And they have a whole rec room, and they have toys and everything else. Don't want you, Pastor Jeff, get reported to child services today or anything. But listen. Because my wife and I love just being in each other's presence and just being in peace and quiet for a little while. And on the Lord's day, after worshiping Him and after eating food and after preaching the word, I need some peace and quiet. You know what's even better? When friends in the church call us and say, hey, we'll take your kids for a while. Why don't you come over? They can play with our kids. You want to know why? Because when their kids play with our kids, they get peace and quiet too. It all works. But come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? Peace and quiet, no interruption. 40 years, why? Because they completed the task. Even though they were faint, the prize was in sight. They completed the task and they had peace and quiet. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I know you may be faint today and you're still pursuing. Can I tell you? You cannot manufacture peace in your life outside of being in the will of God. Look, you may, I know there's lots of things out there today that the world pushes on you to try to get peace, right? Whether it be, a certain kind of drink that can give you peace, right? Or whether, you know, you're rolling something that can give you some peace. Or whether you're taking something that can give you some peace. Can I tell you? Those things are only temporary. It's only temporary. At some point, you got to go back and get it fixed. Can I tell you? The peace of God that comes from being in the will of God, Scripture says, is the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I don't know about you, but I don't know about a drug or a drink or a smoke that can give me 40 years of peace and quiet. Come on! You want to have peace with God for the rest of your life? Stay in His will. Wouldn't it be great to know that you're fighting the enemy, but you got peace with God? That you got peace with God? It's the peace of God that passes all understanding. Look, are you faint this morning? I got to wrap this up. How many of you guys can raise your hand and say, I'm faint, Pastor? I know what you're talking about. I can recognize with Gideon, I'm faint. I'm weary, I'm worn out, I'm tired, I'm fighting the enemy, I'm trying to move forward, but I'm faint. Can I tell you this morning, can I beg you this morning, can I make a plea to you this morning? Keep pursuing the Lord. Keep pursuing what He's called you to do. Don't quit. look, there is work to be done. And ladies and gentlemen, I truly believe that we as Christians are on the cusp of something amazing happening. Whether that is the rapture and God takes us out of here, praise the Lord, that'd be wonderful. Or whether that is some sort of awakening that we get to see where God starts separating things and the glory of God gets to be known. I believe we are on the cusp of walking in some of the greatest days of the Christian faith. Whether it be here at Grace or whether it be worldwide. But listen to me, the only way that you can experience that greatness that is coming is for you not to give up. Keep at it. Don't quit. Because listen to me, as we go into those great days that God has for us, as we go into walking into the wonderful things that God has for us, listen to me, there's going to be struggles. There's going to be troubles that come along with it. There's going to be battles. And listen to me, even as we walk through that, there is going to be weariness, there's going to be tiredness, and you're going to feel faint. But can I tell you something this morning? We'll see God's glory. If you don't quit, we'll experience peace and quiet. If you don't quit, listen to me, there is rest and peace on the other side of Jordan. Keep pursuing. Keep pursuing for the glory of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. If you're here today, I would invite you to the altar if you are faint and need help pursuing. We talked about the tribes that came around a couple of weeks ago and said, we're here to help even when you've fallen short on your tasks and your responsibilities. We're here to help when you were paralyzed by fear and anxiety and complacency. We're here to help. I'll tell you, if you're faint, but yet you still want to pursue the Lord, listen to me. The tribes are here. The body of Christ is here. They'll come around you. They'll pray for you. They'll lift you up. They'll help you stay focused and help you pursue. I mean, it wasn't Gideon alone. It was Gideon and his 300 men. You need a church. You need a community. Come forward. But if you're here this morning and maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, maybe you stumbled in here this morning and you thought, man, my wife just drug me in here, or my spouse just drug me in here, or my grandkids. I've never put faith and trust in Jesus, but maybe today you can realize, hey, I'm faint from life. This life is tearing me down. This life is just depressing me. It's hard. It's tired. I don't know what to believe anymore. Can I tell you? Jesus said in the Gospels that you're going to get tired in this world from carrying everything on you. Carrying your burdens, carrying your sins, carrying the weight of your anxiety, carrying your struggles, and doing it all on you. You know what Jesus said in response to that? Come unto me, all ye who are weak, weary, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's that peace and quiet. Maybe today you need to come and you need to finally say, I'm tired of trying to achieve righteousness on my own. I'm tired of trying to think I've got to work to get to heaven. I'm tired of trying to be good enough in order to be saved. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood so that you did not have to do any work for your salvation. All you have to do is put aside yourself and believe on him. He did all of it for you. Come unto me, all you who are weak, weary, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You may be faint, but praise God, you're still pursuing, and the cross is in sight. If that's you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let it pass. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We